Father in heaven, you are indeed our refuge. We come this morning asking that you will grant your Spirit to come, that you may give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, we confess that we are like the people of your word, that are seldom careful enough when we hear your word. We are not diligent to receive your word, to lean in and to acknowledge that it is the very words of life that we hear when we hear your word preached, that it is Christ set before us when we hear preaching from your word, and that it is a great joy, a great hope we have. For indeed, Father, we, like the people of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so this morning, Father, as you speak through our servant, Mike McKendry, as you speak through this shepherd, this elder of ours, oh God, would you come and help us, Father, see and hear the wonderful grace of refuge that we have in the person and work of Christ. Oh, that you would do this for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Mike, would you come, brother, this morning?
Joshua chapter 20 this morning in God's infallible word. Joshua chapter 20, we're parachuting into the end of this book. But the concept that we're going to see in the cities of refuge is not something new to Joshua 20 for God's people. This concept of the cities of refuge is something that we see first given in Deuteronomy, as well as Numbers chapter 35, in Deuteronomy 19. And some of these concepts are given to us in God's law from Exodus chapter 21. So as way of introduction, we must understand that God's law is the perfect standard of righteousness and justice, as it is based on the perfect nature of God. So the Lord gave to Israel clear instruction for dealing with thieves, criminals, and murderers. The standard for civil law is kind of summarized in Exodus 21, when the Bible says, he gives this concept of an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, life for life. This gives us a clear definition of what justice is supposed to look like. The scripture teaches that the punishment should also be according to the crime. If a person murders someone in anger, the murderer should be put to death by the proper authority. And many times in this context, the proper authority was someone called an avenger of blood. And that was a near kinsman to the person who was murdered. They were the proper authority to exact God's judgment on that crime. What God defines in his law is just and it is right. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and life for life. However, we come to this idea of cities of refuge and we see a bit of an explanation for this definitive law that is just and right of an eye for an eye. Suppose that there's two men that are in the woods and they're cutting down trees together. The Bible gives this example. And as one man is striking the tree with his axe, the axe head flies off of the handle and it hits his neighbor, his friend, the one that's working with him in the head, so that he is killed. What is to be done in this situation? And the Bible goes to great lengths to explain that this is a man who had no hatred for this other man before. They weren't arguing the day before. They weren't rivals. There was no malice in his heart. There was no premeditation for this killing. This was an accident. So the Lord instructs Israel to appoint six cities of refuge among the 48 cities that are given to the Levites. Do you remember the 12 tribes of Israel? They were all given and divided out their land, except the Levites. The Levites were the tribe that were given cities inside of the other tribes' land. They were not given their own land. They were to be ministers as priests to God's people. And so they had cities that were uniquely appointed in the land of the other tribes. Among those cities for the Levites were the six cities of refuge. They were given for this purpose. The Levites were in control of running these cities. The purpose that they were given was so that the slayer who killed another accidentally and without premeditation could flee to one of these cities, state his case to the elders of the city. And the elders were to take him in, give him a place to stay. And when the Avenger of Blood came looking for him, they were not to deliver him into his hands. The slayer could abide in safety until his case was heard, or until the high priest had died. But if the slayer would ever leave that city of refuge before that happened, the Avenger of Blood could find him and kill him, and the Avenger of Blood would not be guilty of murder. He was only safe within the city of refuge. And so we come to our text here in Joshua chapter number 20, and we see verses 1 through 6. We're going to see just 2 points this morning. I'm following in the liberal footsteps of our pastor. Just 2 points, not 4 or 5. So just 2 this morning, verses 1 through 6 is the need for refuge. We're going to see the need for refuge. And then in verses 7 through 9, we're going to see the provision of refuge, the need for refuge and the provision of refuge. This morning, it is my prayer that we will see that Christ is the only refuge from the wrath of God. I want to define for us at the very beginning a concept that we hear often called a type. A type. And as I say the word type, several of us got anxious. I know one in particular got very anxious with good reason, because types are often abused, especially in the Old Testament. Some want to take a tent peg in the Old Testament and make it some truth in the New Testament. So I want to clearly define this for us. A type is a symbol appointed by God to represent something greater to come in the future. A type is a symbol appointed by God to represent something greater to come in the future. And so when something we say is a type of Christ, it is something that is used to point to a greater truth that will find its fullness in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So a type of Christ is something that teaches us something about Christ that Christ greater fulfills in the person and work of Christ. In this passage, it's very unique in Joshua 20, we find 2 types of Christ. The first is found in verses 1 through 6, the need for refuge. And the second type of Christ is found in verses 7 through 9, the provision of refuge. So firstly, the need for refuge. Read with me in verses 1 through 3. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there." Here's their need for refuge. "They shall be for you a refuge from the Avenger of Blood." The Avenger of Blood. Now this word avenger, if you look at the Hebrew, the word is the same word that's used for redeemer. The redeemer, redeeming, the idea of paying back. Many of us will be familiar with the story of Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz is what's called a kinsman redeemer. This idea of an avenger of blood is the same role as the kinsman redeemer. And so in the story of Ruth and Boaz, we're very familiar with the story where Ruth's husband dies. And it's found out that Boaz is her closest relative. And it would have been his right, his responsibility by God to take her as his wife and to care for her as the kinsman redeemer. But also as a part of that same responsibility, he had the responsibility of being the avenger of blood. If Ruth were to have been murdered after her husband died, it would have been Boaz's responsibility by God to be the avenger of blood and to exact the justice for that murder. An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. In Proverbs 17:15, the Bible says, "He who justifies the wicked," is one that's going to contrast two ideas, justifying the wicked, "and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Justifying a murder and condemning the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And here in this avenger of blood, he is given the job of exacting God's justice upon a murder. Now, this concept of an avenger of blood is entirely foreign to our 21st century minds. The idea of one who would take justice into their own hands, like a vigilante, and he would kill a murderer that murdered their relative. But we need to understand that this was given by the Word of God. It was just and it was right. And the avenger of blood had the responsibility to do this righteous act of carrying out the judgment of God for murder. This is what the law of God required. Life for life. And this is the first type of Christ that we see in our passage. Christ, brothers and sisters, is too the avenger of blood. He will exact judgment upon this world as an avenger of blood for the murderous hearts of the wicked. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Keep your place there in Joshua 20. And turn all the way back to the end of your Bibles in Revelation chapter 19. Most today do not like to see Jesus in this light. They prefer to see Jesus as a Lamb of God. They do not prefer to see Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Before we get to Revelation 19, listen to these words in Revelation 6, speaking of Christ as the avenger of blood, the righteous judge. Revelation 6, "When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks." This is what they said: "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" In your passage that you're at in Revelation 19, let's read verses 11 through 16. Christ as the righteous judge. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the wrath, of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Kings. Of Lords." This is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we too have a need for refuge from the avenger of blood. Jesus Christ the righteous will exact holy judgment upon the wicked. Every person in the world is born with the avenger of blood in hot pursuit. He must uphold the perfect law of God and righteousness. He will not justify the wicked or condemn the righteous. Now that we've seen the need for refuge, let's look further into God's provision of refuge. In verses 7 through 9 of Joshua 20. The need for refuge, this avenger of blood. And then in verses 7 through 9, we see God providing refuge. In verse 7, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness on the tableland from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without intent could flee, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. These cities of refuge here are listed out for us. I want to give you some homework because there's not time for us to go through each name. But as you're observing the Lord's Day this afternoon, I would encourage you to look up each of these cities of refuge and their names, because they uniquely point to the person and work of Jesus Christ, each one of them. Notice the first three cities, several of these cities, it says that they were on a hill. Their visibility was high. As someone who was running and fleeing from a pursuing avenger of blood, they could see the city from far away. And Jesus Christ was high and lifted up on the cross for all to see him. These cities were also spread out evenly throughout the land so that everyone was close to a city of refuge. There weren't all of the cities of refuge in one area, in one region, just for one of the tribes. They weren't all together for a sect or the rich. They were spread out amongst the land, three on one side of the Jordan running down the middle, and three on the other side. They were accessible to all. And Christ, too, is near to all of those who call upon him. His ear is open to the repentant sinner's plea for mercy. The Levites of this day had to manage the roads, and they had to keep them free of debris. Anytime that there was an intersection in the road leading to a city of refuge, they had to clearly put out signs and markings that said refuge, that pointed to these cities of refuge. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Notice here in verse number 9, it says that these were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them. In Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know that as these cities of refuge were set up, no one could strike his neighbor so that he died accidentally and then decide to run anywhere that he wanted for refuge. There were 48 Levite cities, but only 6 of those cities were designated as cities of refuge. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." Psalm 62:7-8, "On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My God is my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 34:22, "The Lord redeems the life of his servants. none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We read it this morning. Shane read it for us. Our New Testament reading. Hebrews chapter number 6. No doubt the author of Hebrew had the cities of refuge in mind as he penned these words in Hebrews chapter number 6. We're going to read verses 18 through 20. Starting in verse number 18. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. I can imagine a scenario during the time of Joshua 20 when these cities of refuge were in place, where a man was working with his neighbor. Perhaps he was working on his roof and there was an accident and he dropped a heavy tool and it struck his neighbor so that his friend died. And he reasoned within himself and he thought, I can reason with the Avenger of Blood. I can explain what happened and he'll understand. The city of refuge is a long run away from here. I'm sure I'll be able to explain myself. And if he was found outside of the city of refuge, he would be justly killed by the Avenger of Blood. Because he was only safe when he was found in the city. There are those of us who have heard the gospel of Christ preached time and time again. Some of us our entire lives. And we have some future plan of a time that we will run to Christ in refuge. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And yet Christ is the greater city of refuge because, think about this, the only people who would find refuge in the city of refuge were those who were not guilty of murder. If you ran to the city of refuge because you actually did murder someone, the elders and the Levites would have heard your case and they would have given you to the Avenger of Blood to exact judgment on your murder. And yet, brothers and sisters in Christ, we find refuge from premeditated, unjust sin and murder. Christ is the refuge for every guilty, sin-sick soul that rests in Him. My prayer for us this morning is that we will run to Christ by faith and find refuge in the wrath to come. Brothers and sisters, we have fled for refuge and we have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. We have this as a sure and a steadfast anchor of our soul. May the Lord give His blessing to the reading and the preaching of His word.